It's been nearly 2 days since the explosion that left 25 people dead in West Virginia. Rescuers are still hoping to release some of the poisonous gases that are trapped inside the coal mine there and reach four remaining miners. Their fate, as of now, is unknown. So they're drilling at the Upper Big Branch mine in Raleigh County. The chances of finding those miners alive, though, appear slim. In a moment, we're going to talk about the safety violations many of us have heard so much about and what can be done to make conditions safer for miners. But first, let's go back to Jessica Lilly, a reporter with West Virginia Public Radio. She's been on the scene covering this since the explosion on Monday night. So, Jessica, they are drilling into the mountainside right now. They're going to be drilling three holes. Do they have to get all three of them complete before rescue teams can go back in?
Well, yeah, actually that changed. They added a fourth hole yesterday, I'm told. They're actually going to be drilling four holes now. And the latest update that we had that they reached about 100 feet, of course, that came out yesterday. We're waiting. We should hear more information here in about a half an hour as far as the progress and how they're doing on that as well. But yes, the holes are for ventilation, and also they're hoping to locate. They think they've used a GPS sort of tracking system, it's my understanding, to try and locate these miners. And the holes are also to help, you know, locate them. And hopefully right now they're just still holding on to the hope that they've reached one of the rescue chambers, because there is enough food, water, and fresh air and oxygen to keep up to 35 miners alive for 96 hours. But things here are a lot more quieter than they were yesterday, not as hectic and things of that nature. It's mostly just people waiting and things like that.
Yesterday, you kind of described the community there as a little bit shell-shocked, that it hadn't entirely sunk in and they were still trying to get their mind around the scope of this disaster. Would you say that has changed?
Well, I'd say, well, yesterday, I can speak to what I saw yesterday, and I think yesterday they were still in shock. Here in West Virginia, you know, there are coal mines, and this is unfortunately something that we're all too familiar with in this region. However, something of this magnitude, with 25 miners dead and four still missing, and of course two hospitalized still, is something, you know, just of great proportions. And they talk about, Governor Manchin described the explosion as just massive. So when you talk about something that large and that many people dead, then it's just something that's difficult to grasp. The community members are sort of congregating and gathering. As I went through the town yesterday, you'd see them gathering around talking with looks of concern and on their faces as they talked about it. Even when I stopped to get gas, all the conversations all around, even across in about an hour away, was talking about these miners and concern for them.
Jessica, you know, you've described how much pride there is in that community there. And, you know, I don't want to assail that in any sense, but I'm wondering if talk about safety and safety at Massey Energy in any sense causes the community to rethink the whole approach to mining at that particular mine. Rather than tunneling into the mine, would they adopt techniques, controversial techniques like are taking place in other communities, where they just sort of, you know, take the mountaintop right off, not have people working in dangerous tunnels filled with methane?
Well, I guess sort of ironically, mountaintop removal or surface mining is very popular here in southern West Virginia and in Appalachia. Massey Energy has some of the majority, it's my understanding, of those mountaintop removal mines in this very same community right here. You drive probably about 5 or 10 miles down the road, and you'll actually come across a surface mine. And there has been controversy about that here in several protests of community members and grassroots groups coming here in protesting mountaintop removal and surface mining, and actually suggesting that underground mining would employ more people, they think, and also not be as harmful to the environment. So, you know, it's a controversial issue, and it's complicated, and there's lots of different things that the community, you know, has to take into consideration. But yeah, a lot of the families that we talk to say, you know, it's a danger that they recognize and they know that's going on. And there's also dangers in surface mining as well.
Jessica Lilly's a reporter for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Let's turn now to Celeste Monforton. She is worked for the Mine Safety and Health Administration for 6 years and currently teaches in the School of Public Health at George Washington University. Celeste, good morning. You know, there is a lot of talk about the nature of mining being dangerous no matter how you do it. But we got a post from one of our listeners on our website, thetakeaway.org, yesterday saying, why are we still sending humans down into coal mines? Why can't we get robots to do some of the activities that are the most dangerous?
Morning, Jessica. Morning, Celeste. Well, the premise that we can do this type of work with robots suggests that we would completely change the technology that's used in the mines. So my experience has been, and we haven't been able to get the mining industry to improve technology for breathing devices or even for some of the safety equipment on the mine. So I think it's really a stretch to think that they would go to some extreme measure of, you know, developing robots to do the mining. The fact is, in this country, consumers and businesses expect our energy to be cheap. And they expect coal to be cheap and the electricity that's burned from coal to be cheap. And when you are have an industry that works at that kind of margin, there's a tremendous amount of incentive to spend as little as you can to get the coal out and do as little as you have to protect the workers that work in those mines.
You know, I want to play you a comment that Ellen Smith made yesterday on this show. She's the editor of Mine Safety and Health News. Here's what she said.
We celebrated a record low number of fatalities in 2009. We celebrated how far the industry has come. None of us ever thought that this would ever happen again. I honestly believe that.
I'm wondering if you were as surprised by this tragedy in West Virginia as Ellen Smith seemed to be.
I was very surprised. The whole time I worked at MSHA, we didn't even have a double fatality. But when Sago happened and then Crandall Canyon, I mean, I think that was a huge wake-up call for myself that we are digging in areas of the country that are the most remote to get coal. I mean, we're trying to get the bottom of the barrel. And when you process coal in that way, you're just creating more and more potential hazards for the miners. And that's all an attempt to get this cheap energy source.
Celeste Monfortin worked for the Mine Safety and Health Administration for 6 years. She now teaches in the School of Public Health at George Washington University. We also spoke with Jessica Lilly, a reporter for West Virginia Public Broadcasting.